time-bound cycle lane, i.e. off-peak times, on the far east side, exiting onto Shelley Beach Road, gets converted with concrete barriers machine. There you go. Doesn't have to be the Big Bang at all. You're listening to 9 to Noon with Catherine Ryan. 24 minutes to 10 it is. Well, now to an architect whose work is at the nexus of sustainability and technology. Mario Ciccinella is based in Milan in Italy, and some of his notable projects include an eco-residential 3D printed building using clay. Have a look at it, the extraordinary image on our webpage. Also, a hospital with smog-eating ceramic fins and a nursery school grounded in nature. Those images are online, listeners. Mario is in Auckland for the Institute of Architects conference this week. He is in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio. Buongiorno and welcome. Lovely to have you with us.
Yeah, buongiorno. Thank you for the invitation.
Sustainability research and technology are the cornerstones of your work. How important is this in design right around the world right now? Is it fundamental?
Well, it's one of the pillars of architecture. If you're looking in the past and the history, when there was no energy available, architects designed building in empathy with the climate. So, and the design of building was so fantastic and so different for different latitude. So it's one of the fundamental elements to design buildings, how you can relate to your climate, no? Because that's the only energy available. No? So I think now the ambition of the agenda, I was listening to your guest before, the agenda is 2030 and 2050, you know, is to make building a zero impact or zero energy. So how are we going to do? We lose all the knowledge because we're using technology. So I think we need to look in our past, not in a nostalgic way, but to see how we did before, how we designed building with no energy. And you discover it, and the key point is how you design your building, the architecture, how the architect is able to, you know, control the daylighting and increasing the ventilation and insulate the building. So it's for me, it's one of the pillar of architectural sustainability.
Do we teach it anymore?
Sorry?
Do we teach it anymore to architects?
Well, I think we start again to teach because the agenda is really, I mean, it's very ambitious. But I think there's a lot of work to do. So that's why we set as a social responsibility of our office, you know, our master program to help the young generation because they're going to face the major problem in 20 years or 30 years. Know how to design a better buildings. So how you're using the new tools. We're living in a digital world where we have data that we never had before. So we have information. Now we need to transform this data as information in new design. And I think we can learn from the past, but also we can learn from information that we never get before. So I think it's a challenging moment also for university to change the way to design buildings, how to teach this relation between buildings and climate, buildings and environment. You know, I think it's a very exciting moment, and I'm very pleased. And I see a lot of young architects, engineers. They have a lot of questions. How are we going to do that? How we can improve our quality of our building? How we can reduce the emission in our city? So I think the young generation is already with a lot of worried about it. So, and I think this is a very positive thing.
Can we look at some of your specific examples, please? The 3D printed house, it's made of clay. Please explain the principles that you applied here.
Yeah, I think this project called Tekla, Technology and Clay, was the idea to broken a paradigm. You know? We have an agenda so ambitious, how we make zero impact building, no? We are not able to do it. There don't exist any zero energy building and zero impact building. So how we can answer to that question? So we decide to work with a company who have 3D printer machine and say, why we don't use the clay? I mean, mainly digging a hole in your garden, get the clay and select it. And then the printer is just printing this house. But the point of innovation is not about the machine, not about the printer, but the way you design that building, the thickness of the wall, how the shape is made to the clay stay together, and how we can make this building with no mechanical services. It's a free running. So it's very well insulated, but at the same time, is ventilated. And I think the shape came out is something, it looks like a prehistorical building, but at the same time so modern. So I was, when I visit the building when it's finished, I tell you, it's the emotion to find this relation with material. No, you feel the hurt, you feel the wood, you feel the concrete. So I was inside of these two domes, and I get some emotion from my DNA, you know, as a human, no? It's back to our history, you know, and I was really impressed. And it's amazing just to show that it's possible to do it. I'm not sure that we're going to build a city like this, but I'm only showing that it's possible to do something different, and that is the strong part of the story.
It is. There's a small village of these houses in Italy now.
Yeah, well, we now build another one with a different technology, because I think if you make a building where 85% is made by earth and cement or additive is only 5%, 10%, it means 90% less concrete, which is the most CO2 emissions material. So I think we can progress to back our roots, you know, to make building with the materials less impact in terms of emissions and more using more natural material. And I think this is the trend, is the way we're going to work in the future.
It is also completely biodegradable, the exterior, and this is another issue because pollution and landfill from construction is huge. Can you explain what holds it up, please? This is undoubtedly a question of physics as much as anything else, but people looking at them will be curious as to what holds them up.
Well, it's the way it's designed, and is structurally the shape is made to because, you know, when you're printing, the clay is wet, so you need to design the right shape, not collapsing when it's wet. And when that's the limit of the shape we design is the limit of the clay can stand up. Mm-hmm. You know? And then is a big hole in the top, which is a skylight, which is provide vertical light, but also provide ventilation inside the house, and it's very comfortable. And you feel the sound, you feel the material, you feel inside you're eating, you know, a little eating by the bodies, you know, you're keeping inside of this little house.
200 hours of printing, 7,000 machine codes. What do you see as the universal use of 3D printing in mass construction? Is there a conversion happening apace?
Well, I think, like in Germany, they're already printing a lot of villas, no, by using concrete. And then I think it's really starting point to make quicker and you know, and more precise and more detailed. No, because like the Tekla house take only 200 hours of work. Then of course you need to make some finishes, but it's quite quick. And the time is also important on a construction site. You know? So I think we are in the beginning of something change. You know, we are not yet there to building a skyscraper or building a big house, but like to just give another example. You know, we start to build maybe 30 years ago. You know, rebuilt building in wood, you know? And we thought maybe we could do one floor, two floors. Now we can make a building 80 meter high in wood. So this technology is growing by also using new tools, digital tools. And I'm sure the beginning of the 3D printer is also to invent a new material for this machine and to make a better building. I think we are just the starting point of this change.
The use of local materials, in this case clay, but is that another principle that you would like to see more widely applied?
Well, I think in this moment there's many companies working on the new mixture of materials, like clay. And clay is different in many places. No, it's different here, it's different in Italy. In Italy, it's the many different places. So you need to analyze the materials. And this is another approach. You know, instead to transport all the material, you analyze the material locally and then see how much you need to add to make structurally sound, you know, because you need to make buildings then stand up and then protect by the rain. And I think there is a different process to see how to use in material, because the impact of building construction is huge in terms of CO2 emissions, transport, materials, the construction time. So all this is representing more or less the 40% of the CO2 emissions. So I think this is starting of a revolution to use more local, which is reducing the impact of transportation, but also a new generation of material. No, I think this is, for me, is the moment very, very interesting. We are working now with a Mexican company and a Danish company who make 3D printer, and then they researching how to make a light concrete, or concrete with using like only 30% recycling, or using only 5 or 10%. So I think the direction is quite clear that we need to work in new generation of material.
The hospital you designed in Milan deals to another problem. We have massive pollution problems on various fronts because our populations have exploded in a very short time, right? And we have pressured our environments. The anti-smog properties designed into this hospital, could you explain them?
Yeah. Well, hospital is a very consuming machine because it's working 24 hours a day, and then you need to provide any kind of services. But this new generation of buildings is made by two very simple principles. The 70% of the hospital is opaque, it's very high insulation, so it requires less energy, less cooling, less heating, and which is representing a huge amount of numbers in terms of cost, of course, also the emissions. But then the skin outside of the building is the louvers, vertical louvers in ceramic, and these ceramics contain a titanium molecule. So what's happened then, the pollution is touch this material, and it's transformed in salt. So when it's raining, it's washed away the pollution, transforming that in a kind of safe material. Of course, that's not enough to reduce the pollution of the city, but it's starting to show that we need to work in DNA of a material. So material don't need any more energy to make some works. It's in the material. And for me, it's representing what nature do every day, you know, transforming CO2 in oxygen, no, with no energy, only with the DNA. So and the hospital is creating a sort of a bubbles of cleaning area around, and is a very interesting impact.
Mario, the disconnect of human beings from nature is such a theme of your work. The need to reconnect with what we are primarily kind of designed for. And I love the concept of the nursery school grounded in nature again. Endeavouring to help children connect more naturally with an environment they spend not enough time in. What are the principles of that?
Well, you know, design school for kids like kindergarten or in primary school is so important for kids because, you know, when you design buildings, especially public buildings, you know, you tell to the kids, we take care about them by designing the space. Because space, architecture is, of course, doesn't move, but travel in the memory. I'm still remember myself, my kindergarten when I was 5. And then I discovered 55 years later when I designed that building, that was designed by a modernist architect, an Italian architect. And I remember the proportion, the lighting. And maybe this is memory remain in my brain for so long. So I think when we design a building for kids, you must know then you're going to create a memory of people, and then you need to take care about this. So we designed two buildings. One is completely in wood, and it's a metaphor of a whale. You know, then kids go in the school. School is not at home. It's not home. This is the first time the kids, they don't stay with their parents. They go in a social environment, you know. And also, it's not a room, a square like home. No, it's a place that can imagine something else. So you go in the school, and then you increase your imaginations. No, then you looks like a boat. It looks like a whale, and then you know, and then help kids to create their own imagination and memory. No, and I was pleased when we designed that building how family and kids, they take care about this, you know, and then they cannot imagine before, you know, but when they saw, they thought it was always there. And I it's, for me, it's one of the best kind of work I like to do, you know, the school, because You know, it's a long tradition of pedagogies in Italy, you know, about kindergarten. You know? We design buildings from the 1940s, 1945, called Reggio Children, you know, which is a model copied in many parts of the world. And this guy said the architecture is the third educator. So, because, you know, you go inside a building and building tell you something, you know, the space, the light, the way you can move inside. All this is high responsibility for an architect when designing these kind of buildings.
Thank you, Mario. Mario Cuccinelli is with the Institute of Architects Conference this week. He is based in Milan, Italy. Cuccinella, forgive me, based in Milan, in Italy. You can see images of his work on our webpage.